You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church.
Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
As usual.
Yes, it is me. I may sound different. I have a sore throat, so I'm just going to let David do most of the talking today. Which I kind of do anyways, I feel like.
This will be a short one.
So we have Easter under our belts now. Great Sunday, lots of fun.
Yeah,
it was. Lots of visitors. Awesome. And then we picked back up this past Sunday with our Narrow Road series.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about being people on a mission, on a rescue mission. And you kind of talked about... the unbelief, like, do we really believe that God says mm-hmm. he'll do what he's going to do and that he's as powerful as he says he is and all of the above?
Yes.
So it made me think kind of like how the way we view God is probably a lot different in our culture, in our day and age versus people, you know, like the first century and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think it is that really fuels our unbelief today, that like maybe puts us at a disadvantage? Because I mean, even in today's culture, us versus other countries too, I think mm-hmm. we have a different view just because of the way we live.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a very
broad question.
But also, it could go so many different ways. There's so many elements to that we could talk through. I would say one of the thoughts that I would have towards our context in America, at least here, is I think in many ways we've replaced God with ourselves. So when you look at the outpouring of God in, you know, the early church or even in other countries where we hear of the gospel spreading very quickly, and this is not to take away from the many resources God has given to us here in America.
Sure.
But we put so much more emphasis on our own abilities of what we're packaging
mm-hmm.
versus completely entrusting ourselves to how God's going to move. So, you know, it's the how we, you know, again, the packaging of things, how we design it, how we're going to draw people in. Kind of going back to what I was, you know, was it this Sunday I was talking about? See, my mind is, I can't even put the Sundays together. Mm-hmm. Just recently, I remember, it might have been this Sunday, I can't remember for sure. But just talking about the power of advertising. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was maybe Easter. I just made this comment of how, you know, we have entire organizations and businesses that their one job is how to manipulate people.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You know, how do we package something to draw people in? Mm-hmm. What's the hook that draws people in? And... So I think sometimes we can focus more on like what we're able to do versus putting ourselves in a position that says, God, you know, we're completely relying on you to do that which only you can do.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think about often, even for myself, is we're in a place of it just takes a lot of faith and that belief in what God can do when we haven't experienced it or ever seen it, right? So the example would be is I'll hear stories from other countries of how the gospel's spreading. And it's almost like there's a part of us, well, at least for me, I don't want to put anybody else in this, but for me, there's that part of me that I have to fight that almost wants to dismiss it because like, well, I never experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just wonky. Like, this is messed up, you know? And so sometimes I wonder if God sometimes looks at us in our context and says, man, I really want to unleash something in your presence, but man, you're just not going to accept it. Mm-hmm. You're not ready for it yet. You're not seeking it. And so sometimes I wonder if our, you know, like that unbelief of ours is just gets in the way of God doing awesome
mm-hmm.
because he's it's like, if I'm not going to get the glory for it, I ain't going to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know? I don't know. There's just so much.
Sure.
But I think, again, the focus a lot with the church is we just focus on our abilities more.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of our last small group, and we're doing that Francis Chan
mm-hmm.
Video series. And he talked about, like, are we even making room for him? Because we're so busy, you know, with our kids and families and, you know, whatever else we're pursuing. I think that's, we're an overscheduled generation, I feel like.
Well, and sometimes, there's that. And as you mentioned that, the other thing I thought of is going back to even Easter, it's the, we want to feel like we're in control. We have a very controlling society. Like, I want to be in control of myself.
I am
want to
be in control of a very controlling person.
We'll see. And so there's this that element of control.
Yeah.
And so I got to thinking, just as you were saying that, you go back to even the religious leaders. You know, here's Jesus doing amazing things in their presence, but it was out of their control. And they didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the triumphal entry. Yeah. I mean, the triumphal entry.
I'm glad I didn't live then.
You would have been the one like, stop that.
I might have been. Stop man.
We didn't schedule this. This is out. You don't have a permit, Jesus, to ride your donkey through Jerusalem. But
need your sermon series 3 weeks in advance, Jesus.
But that's the image I get, is the religious leaders, even at the triumphal entry, like there's this amazing instance of, you know, because even Jesus makes reference to the miraculous in that, you know, when they're telling him, knock this off, tell your disciples to stop this. And Jesus said, if they stop, the stones are going to cry out. So, but it's like, we're not in control of this. And if we're not in control, we don't want it.
Sure.
We don't like it. Because again, it takes the spotlight off us, you know, and then we're kind of like, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and do I think, go ahead.
Do you think sometimes it has to do with the fact that we're not omniscient, but we kind of think we are?
Think we are.
With our phones and the access we have to everything. Like, I always think about, Scott was doing this just last night. He's looking for something to watch. And we have, you know, multiple streaming platforms to find something to watch, right? But it's almost like we're so inundated with stuff and there's so much content that it's overwhelming. I don't know. It just gives us like a false perception or something. But I mean, we live in a day and age where we have access to any kind of Bible you want, any kind of study you want, just videos, podcasts, like everything. But our, you know, we're not fully accessing that stuff either. But sometimes I just think it's so much. It's like, where do you even start?
Well, and it's because we have so much. That the other thought, as you were saying that, is, and then we fall into the self-perception of course I know how to do that. I read a book. Like, of course I know what's best for the church. I read a book. You know, of course I could go up there and teach that. I've read a book. And again, I'm not trying to downplay learning and all of that. But it's that very simple, like, I watched this. You know, So, you know, here's the silliness. Let me give you an example of how this, you know, like, I watched a video. I can do this. So, nobody would be shocked. I don't wear ties very often. So, when it comes time to when it comes time to I have to tie a tie, I just like, oh, I remember how to do this. Do it real quick, and then I'll look at it and be like, Dad, don't look right. Like, it don't look bad, but it don't look right.
Sure.
So, it's that idea of like, oh, I learned that. I know what to do. And it's like, really, there's that relying on God. Right, that we miss, because it's like, no, I've read a book, and of course that tells me exactly what, you know, and how often do we do that? We watch a video, we hear a sermon, we read a book, we hear somebody else say it, we go to a conference, and it's just like, oh, I know exactly what has to happen now.
It feels so simple.
Because now it's in my control. I have the knowledge, I'm gonna go put it into play. And then it's, but wait a minute, where's your relying on God? Right. And seeking of God.
That's good.
You know, and I think we're all guilty of it. I've I've gone to conferences before and walked, you know, you got your notes and I'm oh, I know exactly what we need to do. But now it's like, I'm in control. And
God just like, that's cute.
So he's cute. Just, you're so funny, David. He's just, you know, but.
So you kind of gave us some action steps at the end of your sermon. I always feel like, not to your fault or anything, but at the end you're like feeling rushed because you're trying to wrap things up. So sometimes we don't always get like a full picture of probably what you want to say. So this is a good opportunity. Can you go a little more in depth on those three action points? I know, like, of things we can be praying for. I mean, they're kind of self-explanatory, but I think it's worth kind of diving into a little bit more.
So the whole premise behind those prayers, and again, if you remember when I brought them up, they start with, asking the Spirit of God mm-hmm. to do these things. And that's right. that's one of the first things when we think about evangelism or anything we do. If we're doing it under our own strength, it's never going to succeed the way God wants it to. So that goes back to the whole sermon of you'll receive this power from the Holy Spirit. So if the source of our ability to evangelize for Christ comes through the Holy Spirit, then we better be actively crying out to the Holy Spirit for him to equip us to do it. And that's the basis of those three prayers. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, and I didn't really say it much on Sunday, but these are very dangerous prayers. These are very... if you're gonna, you better make sure you're ready.
Yeah, kind of like when you pray for patience and then God does yes. something, you're like, whoa, that's not what I had in
exactly,
mind.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you think about the very first one, this, you know, pray for this to the Spirit of, you know, for the Spirit of God to give you the heart of Christ.
Right.
Okay, so that is basically you saying, do whatever you have to do, Holy Spirit, to break my heart to have the same attitude towards people that Jesus does.
Yeah.
Right? Not a judgmental attitude, not a dismissive attitude, not a distant attitude, just yeah. this well, break my heart.
I'm checking all those boxes, Dave.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They're dangerous prayers, right? And I'm going to say this, and this is not to, again, not to come against or condemn us anyway, because it's the same thing sure. for myself.
We all struggle with is, these things.
I want to challenge anybody that was there on Sunday or you listen to the sermon online. Don't sit there when you hear me talk about those three prayers and nod your head like, yeah. I could care less if you agree. If you're not doing them, yeah. your agreement means nothing.
Yeah.
And that's the same for me. It's like, that's why I said these are daily prayers. These are not a one time, let me come to the altar or let me just nod my head. And that's me nodding my head and like, yeah, that's a good prayer is not mm-hmm. me praying the prayer. These are regular, often daily prayers. Because it's so easy when we stop praying these prayers to fall back into a hardening of heart towards maybe the lost or getting sidetracked or getting distracted. So these are daily, should be daily prayers. Lord, mm-hmm. give me the heart of Christ for people that are lost. Let me see them the way you see them. Mm-hmm. And you think about some of the context that we live in today, it's... you know, we just have to be honest with ourselves about it. We see people that are living in sin, and what produces in us is maybe disgust or judgmental thoughts, or oh, can't stand you, you know, because I can't stand what you're doing.
I'm going to run the other direction.
I'm going to run the other direction, yeah. Or you know, or even that. But it all has to start with that prayer, because mm-hmm. if you don't have the heart of Christ, you're never going to take right. the next steps to
right. Well, because you're not going
to
care.
Speak Jesus to them. Because, yeah, you don't care.
Yeah.
You just really just do not care.
Yeah.
And this goes, again, back to the heart of Christ on, you know, what is your purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the, you know, is Jesus, what was Jesus' heart? Did Jesus come with the heart of comfort and, you know, like having all the best of the light of the world? He's like, no, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's his heart. Mm-hmm. You know, so... and this is convicting to me because, you know, like think about it from this context, and I've done this too for myself, and I'm not good at it. But let's say even when I go on vacation, right? Let's say when I go on vacation, is my still heart attitude, Lord, I don't, even when I'm on vacation, like give me the heart of Christ. There might be somebody you want me to, I don't go on vacation from being a disciple of Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, but I still fall into like, this is the time to relax yes. and yeah. I'm not paying attention. And,
yeah.
you know, this is my time. And, It's completely counter what the world tells us our mindset should be, mm-hmm. is praying that prayer. And it's going to hurt. That's what I'm saying. That's the pruning. It's going to hurt. There's going to be moments where yeah. you pray that prayer and he's going to cut some stuff and it's going to hurt at times.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. I mean, it really is at the end of the day, at the end of your life, it's worth it. So it has to start with that hard attitude. And then, you know, Spirit of God, give me the boldness of Christ. So I go back to what we were talking about on Sunday. You will receive power. Give me the boldness to preach the word of God. Give me the boldness to proclaim this. Give me the boldness mm-hmm. to step into what's uncomfortable and maybe even dangerous. And give me the boldness to, you know, I mean, I'll say this, and I might have some family that's listening. Yesterday, I had to do a funeral for a family member. Mm-hmm. And every time I do a funeral, I try my best to have gospel, you know, during, I talk about Christ and the need for forgiveness and all of that and redemption and who he is. And I will be honest, everything leading up to that service, I was like, God, give me the boldness. Give me the boldness. Because there's that, even in the back of my head leading up to it, I was like, all right, I don't want to say anything that's going to offend anybody. I don't want to say anything that's going to upset anybody.
The gospel's offensive.
You know, it is, but we still need that boldness, you know, because, again, if I don't have the heart of Christ, I'm not going to step into then the boldness of Christ because of not, I'm throwing this in your face, but I care about you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, it's willing, I'm willing to take the chance to say it.
And the posture from which you bring that. Yeah.
So that's why those two prayers are they're paramount to being able to share the gospel with people. If you're not wanting the motivation and heart of Christ, you're never going to step into the boldness of Christ. And if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you're never going to step into what's uncomfortable. And it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then I play this game with myself where something will pop up in my mind like, oh, you should say this to this person or pray for this person or do this. And it, you know, it's just this little moment. And then I'm like thinking like, okay, well, is this from God? Is this my thought? Is it, you know what I mean? And that's really probably just an excuse.
Yeah. I try, and I'm not good at it. This again, cause I love talking about this because I never want to come across like, hey, I'm the, you know, I'm witnessing to everybody. And I totally understand this, but I always kind of live with the premise of when those thoughts come, if it goes against my comfort or me, it's not going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to sit there and say, you know what? I really feel prompted right now to go tell that person about Jesus. My flesh is not going to think that thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where I'm going to come from. That's totally God prompting. At least that's how I kind of see it normally is, you know, if God says, here's a great kind of a scenario of this. This is a weird story, but I was in Walmart once, and I was in the back bathroom, you know, like the one that, you know, is hidden, so you kind of hope nobody uses it, so it's cleaner. So it's like
I hate public bathrooms too.
So I was in that restroom, and this was years ago. I think we were actually in Missouri, and I was in that bathroom, and a guy came in to clean that bathroom, and he comes in, and in my head, this is the first thing I thought. I was like, man, I'm glad I don't have to clean public bathrooms. Like, legitimately, that's what I'm thinking. Like, oh, I'm glad I'm not. I don't have to do that. Because, you know, it still wasn't a very nice bathroom. And so as I leave, I'm walking out. And as I'm leaving, I had this thought of, it wasn't pray for him. It wasn't do anything like that. It was just this simple, why don't you at least tell him thank you for, you know, why don't you acknowledge the person and tell him, hey, I appreciate you for doing this. And the first thing in my head was like, that's stupid. They doing that? That's stupid. So I got halfway through Walmart and it was nagging me. Like, why can't you tell a person thank you for, you know, acknowledging? Because I was sitting there the whole time thinking, doesn't everybody wants to be acknowledged? They want to be noticed. Like, hey, I appreciate you. So I did it. I finally got halfway through Walmart. I'm like, all right. And I turned around and made my way back to the restroom. When I got back there, he was done cleaning the bathroom. Wasn't there. But I walked away from that kind of like, oh, man.
You missed an opportunity.
I missed an opportunity.
Sure.
Right? Like, I don't know how God might have used that further in the discussion. Like, what if I would, again, I have no, this is speculation. What if I would have said, hey, thank you for doing this. I appreciate you. What if that would have been the catalyst for that person if they were having a bad day to all of a sudden just kind of open up to that? I don't know. But I walked away from that one experience telling myself that I am not that good of a person to have that thought on my own.
Right.
Like, I am not that good of a person to think I should tell this person I appreciate them. So that's how I see those moments is that's not me because I wouldn't think that.
Sure. Okay.
The Holy Spirit that's would good. Prompt me
to
do that. So because, again, I just know I'm not that good. I can't pat myself on the back. Yeah. Like, I am just so noticeable of people. So anyways, that's how I see that. But then that goes to the third prayer. The third prayer being pray for the Spirit of God to show you the opportunities. And here's what I think why this one is important. It's not about us going around and kicking down the doors trying to win people for Christ. Because Jesus was clear about this. Jesus, like, I will build my church. I am the one that's doing the saving. I am the one that is reaching these people. I am the one that's drawing them. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one drawing them to himself. So we need to pray for the opportunities. We need to pray for the opportunities where we're saying, okay, God, show me, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, show me the people that you have prepared for me to witness to. You know, show me the people that you have opened the door of opportunity.
Yeah.
Versus us just going around and just trying to kick down every door we can. saying.
I don't think any of us have any trouble with that.
You know, I mean, I think about, and this is a good one for family, is some people don't have this problem with family, but some people do. How often do we have family members, like maybe it's our kids, grown kids, and it's just like, I am going to make every comment I can. Trying to get them to, you know, like, I'm finding every opportunity to bring Jesus into this.
They just despise you more.
Exactly. Exactly. It's because you're not looking for the moments when Jesus says, now's the time. When the Spirit is like, now's the time.
Yeah.
Maybe not to bring salvation, but to now's the time that it's going to be watering this seed that is in them versus, man, I'm just going to, every chance I get, I'm throwing Jesus at them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm saying we have to be tender before God to say, show me the opportunities. And sometimes those are going to be opportunities with people we know, but sometimes those are going to be opportunities where we might not even know the person and the Spirit will say, hey, I've been waiting for this moment. I need you to go talk to them right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we don't think about that. Like God would use us in those ways, but I totally think he will, that he will say, I've been working in that person's life and now's the moment I need you to. And he, like, I've set up the pins.
Yeah.
Go knock them down.
Yeah.
Right?
I like it. Bowling analogy.
That's right.
That Piper, was for Piper. Piper would like that.
That's for Piper. That's for my daughter.
Aw.
But again, praying for the opportunities. And then when we pray that on a daily basis, basically we're positioning ourselves to say, Lord, at any time today, you're going to use me to help bring Jesus into somebody's life or multiple people's lives. Mm-hmm. I'm praying this every day. I believe that there's going to be opportunities for me to be used, and I'm praying that you give me the ability to see them. And I've already prayed for the boldness to step into them, and I've already prayed for the heart to want to do it. And it all works together.
Oh, that's good.
To bring the gospel to people that need it.
Mm-hmm. Man, so, if we could just pull that off, David.
and that's why I was like, start praying the prayers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that was kind of my hope at the end of the service was, again, this Sunday, and I know you always ask me, what do we talk about this Sunday? We're going to continue with evangelism because I don't want to just leave it because I want to talk. Okay, let's talk about some of the elements that give us our success in evangelism. Let's talk a little more like, understanding. I'm not going to get up there and say, do this script and all of that.
Right.
But we're going to talk about what do we need to do or prioritize to make us. But first and foremost is you got to be praying for it.
Yeah.
If you're not praying for it, the other stuff don't matter. Mm-hmm. Right. So that at the end of that sermon,
because you're doing it all on your own power.
You're doing it all on your own power. Yeah. And you're gonna struggle and you're gonna get frustrated and you're gonna give up.
Yeah.
You know. That's good. And I just want to encourage everybody at the end of the sermon. I mean, I'm not at the end of this. My intention is not to rally us to say, okay, we're going to start door-to-door evangelism or hey, everybody get ready. We're going to go pick a street corner and we're going to start proclaiming everybody walks by. I'm not downplaying that. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not my mode of God would really have to like he would really have to like move in my heart to say that's what I want from you, David.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is the evangelism that just happens in your day-to-day moments of life
with the people that are already there,
your neighbors that you are purposely trying to build those relationships with them so that you're in a position to share the gospel, your family, your coworkers, but then also just those moments that it might be in the middle of fairway and all of a sudden God just for some reason orchestrates this conversation. And it's your opportunity to say, you know, I mean, I had somebody do that to me in Fairway about 6 months ago. It was crazy. I'm walking in Fairway. Don't even know who the person was. I don't even know he's from here. He just stops me. He says, hey, did you know God has a first name? And I'm looking at him like, well, I know God has a name. And you know, he's like, well, what is it? And you know, we start talking and then he starts giving me this whole, you know, I mean, he wasn't trying to get me to accept Jesus per se, but he starts telling me about this, the greatness of God.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? Like, he's just like, yeah, God, Yahweh. And he starts explaining, like, he just starts doing this stuff. It was like a 4-minute conversation.
Huh.
Right? And I appreciated it, but I'm sitting there thinking, well, that was awesome. Yeah. I mean, that was just a cool thing of the day.
Yeah.
So, and then just a month ago, I had two young girls from one of the local churches here in town that do it, going door to door from one of the Baptist churches.
Okay.
And we didn't have a long conversation because as soon as we started talking, you know, but I walked away from that. Here's two girls that couldn't have been no more than 18 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm like, man, they had the boldness enough to knock on my door and ask me, hey, you go to church? Do you know Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people look at that like, well, that would turn me off. I'm like, mm-hmm. whatever. But I'm like, man, they had, it took some guts.
Yeah.
You know? And here, they're two young girls that did it. Yeah. And so I walked away from that one going,
that makes
that
me
was
start
awesome.
Sweating just thinking about it.
Well, and that's the beauty of it, you know? If we start praying those prayers, that's why I say them, they're dangerous prayers.
Yeah.
What if, I mean, I'm not saying he would, but what if, you know, God says, hey, I've prepared the path for you to go knock on that door. Mm-hmm. And then he, go do it. Right? And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about, because we're going to probably look at Philip and the Ethiopian, okay. which is a prime example of an evangelistic moment where here's Philip just walking up to a, he didn't know, it's like walking up to a door he didn't know. And he's like, hey, you know what you're reading? Like he engaged it. Yeah. So,
Oh, well, that's cool. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Looking so start praying the prayers. That's what I'm just, you know, just faithfully start praying those prayers and let God do what God does.
Yep. So, you know what works for me too is, to be intentional with prayer is I have stuff written out. And I go to an extreme, which we won't get into, but it's just kind of a method that works for me.
Yeah.
But if you have those out, they're in front of you. I need stuff in front of my eyes, like words. And like I have a little prayer book I ordered a month ago or something. That's been really helpful. Because sometimes it's just helpful to give you the right words to pray. Because sometimes you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I just we make it harder than it needs to be.
Sure,
is what it is. You know, even what you're talking with prayer. You know, I know that's, but that's you know, do what makes sense. Don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't beat yourself up. Like, find what works for you. Right. Yeah. But the first place to start is, you know.
Yeah.
Just start praying it.
Yeah.
You know.
And God will do the rest.
And God will do the rest.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for listening.